Ah, a very good afternoon, a very good evening, wherever you're finding yourself in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful continent, the dark and the green continent. Yeah, except for Namibia and Botswana. We dry, man. And perhaps the Sahara, but regardless, man, welcome to the business and economic segment. It is our daily program, Monday to Friday, with me, Kanjengo Kamekulunkwanyoka, Ngino Menala Manguluka. You know, it is always a burden to take over from those two guys because, you get to appreciate what certain people get to do, and just to come on air and how they prepare and how deep they go just to prepare whatever they have to, just to come and inform you, to trickle you, to open your mind and to enable you to participate in the conversation. You know, sometimes when I listen to people talking about Eagle FM. And they said, no, Eagle FM, what? Like, guys, I dare you just to tune in. Like, early in the morning, we will wake you up, like, with update on economic matters, on the sector, on policies, on whatever, on early morning scoop. You know, we wake you up there. Then, from there, we unpack some of the most important stories that are going on unpacking the day. Then we give you a break with Elmwood crucifying almost everybody. You know, then we take you to Zambezi, man, because we want to include everybody. You have Uncle Franz just there, they're speaking their Silozi. You know, Silozi sound very dangerous, guys. Silozi sound like you're speaking Russian. You know, I love Silozi, but the way they sound is like, you know, they're always angry. So we take you to Zambezi. We try to include everybody. Then from there, it's on the afternoon 1300 hours, we give you more economic update and policy update and social update on the radar, you know, and conversation and breaking down stories, you know, beautiful things. Then from there, we take you to the north, another vernacular, Shwambo News, one of another beautiful show where we take news, what is happening in the economy and the entrepreneurs, investment, risk, policies, and we put it in Oswamba again, just to cater again for those as we work on other languages. Then from there, Ngundana Ding, you come to these two guys. You know, then they just go there, they take you to places. Like, for those who don't read, you can just listen to Helmut and Dwight. Then they will take you places because they will go to Russia, they will go to China, they will go to USA. Those two guys, they will travel the world with you and just enable you to understand why is it important to read, why is it important to inform yourself. History is very important. Yeah, then from there, you all come to the business and economic segment. I know, maybe when people are discussing Eagle FM, the rest is perfect. Everything is beautiful. Apart from this 1 hour, this 1 hour is our mirror. We're going to stand in the mirror and we're going to reflect on our progress on economic and business matters, on entrepreneurship, risk, and policies. And for today, we are asking a question. We looked into the mirror. We have looked into the mirror. We have reflected on the policy and the decision we have made. We have made some observations of what the things that we have done at the country level. Some of the decisions we have made, the resources we gave up, the license we have given, you know, and ask this question: are we naive? Are we economically naive? Or perhaps we just lack the economic audacity? I'm repeating this again. We stood in the mirror as a country, as leaders, as ministries, as councillors, as governors, as Bank of Namibia governors, as university lecturers. Then we reflected on the decision that we have made. At the country level, at the constituency level, at the regional level, at the ministerial level, the decision that you have made on behalf of your country, I want you to evaluate it. I want you to take a look at it and look at it and to see, did it benefit your people? Did it took your country to a certain level? Were you sober? Was it empirically guided by your information about your country? Or is it you were just forced because you were too naive to make the right decision? And when you look at the decision that you have made, were you bold enough? Were you bold enough to say no? If it does not benefit Namibians, if we do not own 50%, if you are taking the profit away, we're not going to give it to you. When you look at the decision that you have made as a council, as a governor, was it bold enough Did you show that economically audacity of yours, of your people, of your village? Or are you naive like me? So that is what we are going to look at today. And I want everybody, including myself, when we are making decision at the country level, when we are making decision for your household, for your region, for your constituency, are we naive perhaps, guys? Are we naive, or perhaps we just lack the courage to decide for ourselves? When you look at the continental decisions that are being made, when you look at your leaders, every year they are gathering on OAU or AU or whatever. Every year they have some SACU, whatever. There is ECOWAS there. There is war there. There is war there. They are going to China. They are going to Russia. When you look at them, when you observe the decision that they are making, are they naive? Or perhaps they just lack the economic audacity? And where do you get the economic audacity? If you perhaps belonging, your sense of belonging to the continent, the fact that you are the leader of the green and the dark continent, and if it does not give you the economic audacity and everything else, then you are just naive, I guess. Let us evaluate the decision that we made. Let us look at our EPL. Let us look at our ownership in the mining sector. Let us look at our decision in the agricultural sector. Are we naive? Are we economically naive? Look at what you are parading around, asking for investment all over the world, but we cannot ask our own investor domestically. We cannot use our own saving. It's always, no, we do not have money. It's too risky. And this word risky, when we are parading it around, talking about it's risky, is it because we are too naive not to understand that when something is risky, it's also very rewarding? Beautiful people, let us have a conversation. Let me welcome you to the most difficult conversation. Because if you belong to LPM, you can't call your leader naive. If you belong to SWAPO, you can't call your leader naive. If you belong to PDM, you can't call your leader naive. If you belong to IPC, whatever, man, UDF, what other parties? I need to list all of them. I'm sure you can't call your leader naive. Now that's why I'm here, to do it on your behalf. I want you to observe your leader's decision-making ability. I want you to assess your minister. Is he bold enough? Is she bold enough? Is he naive? Because I'm reading some headline today where a minister is saying that a kid should pass, whether there is a classroom or not. You know, and I'm like, yeah, ne? I'm reading some statement being made by our leaders that, no, the resources do not belong to us. You know, then you question, where is the economic audacity? Where is that boldness? Beautiful people. You know, you get to look at the decision that you are making at the country level. You get to look at what we are giving up. You get to look at how people understand foreign direct investment. You get to look at people, their understanding of the quality of education, their understanding of vocational training. And you're just like, man, why? Are we naive? Are we economically naive? Oh, we just do not have the economic audacity to stand up and to do what needs to be done. Are there perhaps those that are educated and made aware of what needs to be done, and perhaps they just do not have the boldness to do it? Because now we need to assess. Because when you are naive economically, you are not well informed in terms of investment, in terms of whatever. But at least you know that they belong to you, right? But I don't think we know that they even belong to us. I don't think we even know. When you are giving a license to somebody from Canada, Australia, for 99 years, Mamela, what are you doing, bro? Like, what are you doing? And they said, no, we're going to create employment for 10 people, 200 people, 99 years. So then you get to ask yourself, are we naive? Are we economically naive? Do we not understand the value of what we are giving up? Are we not reading what we are giving? Oh, we just lack the economic audacity, the boldness in us. You know, you get to understand, You get to understand when the people are crying of hunger and yeah. But you have a dam which is full of water, 81% to full capacity. And we are here crying of hunger. Then you just, like, are we naive, economically naive? Or we just lack the economic audacity? Because the information is there. Some of the assets are there. You know, when you have a wall of transport, a rail transport, a monopoly operating alone, but they're still making losses. And it can connect the country to Zambia, to Botswana, to, you know, and is still operating on losses. And we cannot even make a decision. Then you just ask yourself, is Minister of Finance, is Minister of Transport and Network, are they all naive or they just lack the economic audacity? And yes, they are my uncles, they are my aunties, they are my brothers and my sister who are working there. But every here and there, a locomotive has fallen out of the rail train. Then, you know, so we have to ask ourselves the bold questions. We have to ask ourselves the bold questions when we are going to stand up and to say we have more than 400 billion in savings. Then tomorrow we are sending a mission to Australia to go look for money. Then tomorrow we are sending. So then you ask this question to say, are we perhaps economically naive or we just do not understand what we have? You know, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. It's amazing, man, it's amazing. It's actually bananas. So there are so many papers written on the Namibian economy. There are so many things that have been developed. But still we are doing consultation to come up with another report. You know, there are already 10 reports done per ministry, per each sector, per whatever. Then again, you see, you know, this one is the NGOs. The NGOs, one thing that I have, one of the weaknesses that I look at our NGOs, they do not consider any assessment or report done already. No, they don't. They just go again, look for another consultant. And the worst, the consultant do not come from Namibia. Then you ask this question that the people that are in charge of NGOs, are they economically naive or they just lack the economic audacity to look at what has already been done and also to hire consultant from Namibia? Because you are going to get somebody from Switzerland to come and do an assessment on my village. I applied, but you are going to say I'm not qualified to do an assessment in my own village. And you go get somebody from Switzerland. And that person from Switzerland is going to ask me, then you ask questions like, are we economically naive or we just lack the economic audacity to make bold decisions? You know, we apply, all of us. I'm from Okwalondo, that person from Switzerland. But this NGO is going to say I'm not qualified because I do not have 10 years. But I am from a specific region where the assessment is going to be done. I have a degree, but they're saying I'm not qualified. And they're going to hire somebody from Switzerland to come and do the assessment in my village, in my region, where I'm from. Then you look at them like, are you guys okay? You want to say I'm not qualified, but you're going to hire somebody who have no idea, never been in hard up region, and you trust him to do the best assessment when he does not know the road, when he does not know the train, when he cannot even speak the language, and you are calling me unqualified? And you're just like, are you naive? Are you economically naive? Or you just lack the audacity to make the right decision? So, man, there is so much. There is so much that is going on. And one would just wonder, like, why are we not bold enough? Why are we not bold enough? There are so many questions, but that is one of the most critical questions I keep asking. Why are we not bold enough? You are hearing a whole ED crying, I cannot buy a car because of procurement. Buy the car. Tell them that I'm not going to make my people suffer because of a certain piece of paper. A law that we can change. The proof is there. Now you hear in Kavango, a kid is, or a woman is given birth while they're going to a clinic because there is no an ambulance. And when you ask the government, there are no vehicles. I'm like, yo, are we naive? Are we literally naive? Or we just lack the economic audacity? So for the past 5 years, we did not have a car because, let the shimmy fire you. Let them fire you if you buy a car for your people that are suffering. No, man, winner. And sometimes I just like, okay, all right, okay. We are following the law. Which law? Are you following the law which is making your people suffer? Is it a law like that? Because a law is supposed to be agreed upon, right? It's supposed to improve people's lives, right? But now if women are dying, if kids are going hungry, you know, and the most funniest one is, the food are in a certain storage and they are not being distributed and there are people that are going hungry. And you hear a counselor say, no, we cannot distribute the food yet. And you're just like, man, are you economically naive? This is not even any more economically naive. There's just something wrong with you. No, because the ministry did not, but the people are going hungry. Then we have people who blame on government. No. It's not sometime government. It's just people who are literally economically naive and they just lack that audacity to do what needs to be done. Beautiful people. You know, if we don't make the difficult decisions now, if we don't make the economic decision, the policy decisions now, when are we going to make it? And I'm also reflecting on my own experience. I've been spoiling my sisters. I've been spoiling everybody. Whenever the 100 I give. And I'm realizing, yo, guys, I'm not moving just because I'm the nice guy in a family. And I'm realizing decision has to be made. People have to feel the pain. I have to ignore texts. I have to ignore calls, I think. And also at the country level, when are we going to make bold decisions? When are we? Because right now, in our whole government settings, nobody's talking about Nekatal Dam. I'm listening to everybody. Everybody just saying, no, the country's hungry. We should beg around the world. The people should look at us with pity. Nobody's mentioning the Nekatal Dam. And it's just like, are you people naive? I want you to go in your budget and say, we're going to take $1 billion and develop the Nekatal Dam. And this is where you ask, are we economically naive? Or we just lack the audacity to stand up and do something? You know, I'm going to dedicate a segment to the Nekatal Dam. It's something that hurts me. It's something which is so personal to me. Because why are we going hungry? Why? And this is an attack on myself. It's an attack on everybody who think they are educated, who think they are well informed, who think they have been in government and they have all the experience, but they cannot stand up and knock on the door of the Shimbad. So we can do something about agriculture. So when you look at the whole conversation about what needs to be done, and as I keep saying, I forgot my disclaimer today. My assessment today is based on my own observation. It's not written by anybody. All I'm saying here today is based on my own observation. I call myself a researcher. I call myself an economist. I do not have 20 years or 50 years. I do not have a PhD. I'm just a village champion who love economics and love research. So everything that I say here is based on my own observation. You are welcome to write to the villager to Eagle FM and say, Kanjengo Day, you are not factual or you are lying. And just have something to back it up because I have no problem having you one-on-one. It will be beautiful having you, your side and my side. So yeah, just have the disclaimer. But in my observation, we aspire to do so much. We want to do so much. We want to move. We want to be whatever you want to call yourself, the African Abu Dhabi or the African Dubai, whatever the comparison you guys are making. But every day when I come here, what I want to highlight to everybody is this. None of whatever you're aspiring to achieve will be achieved if we do not develop the economic audacity, that boldness to say, let us go this direction. And one beautiful thing about Namibian is that this is some of the most peaceful people. They are so loyal. Because we've been making policies that do not regard them. We have been making policies to help European entrepreneurs and investors to get whatever they want. And they are quiet. And it's supposed to assist us to make one of the most difficult decisions. But the decision that we have been making, and I'm going to put it here, because many of you will look, he's just pointing fingers to our ruling party. No, no, no. Government is made up of everybody from different parties. The people who are advising cabinet, not all of them belong to the ruling party. So don't get me wrong. You political people have a tendency. I'm saying, when I'm talking about government, I mean everybody. So we have a loyal population. And a population that does not even read. So you can decide whatever you want and they're just quiet. By now, we're supposed to be making some of the most difficult decisions that will help this population in the years to come. But whenever you are seeing a law being made, it's because one European guy wanted to be changed. We have now NIPDB wanting to, and you just look at it. And that is now the audacity that I want. If Mewanja, you are standing up for foreign investors that want to own land in Namibia and whatever, why can't you do the same thing for Namibian? That is the most hateful thing to me. The people that are in front lack the audacity to change things for Namibians, for local investors. All I get to hear is economically audacity being applied for the benefit of other people, not Namibians. But we do not hear to say no. We are standing up because we have two investors, we have two Namibians who decided to do this, and we are giving it to them. If some few Namibian go decided to occupy some land in Windhoek, you hear that our leaders are sending the police to them. So the lack of audacity to stand up for our people, for ourselves, is what is actually worrisome. And the naivety in among ourselves to assume that somebody from across oceans has the best interest. Now they are coming to create a job. They are coming to do what? They are coming to do what? There is no such things in the rational world that is somebody from elsewhere has their best interest. So you to be there advocating for them to get whatever, thinking that they will be, it just doesn't happen. Ilonga yavakwe ni ilikolwa matanga. It doesn't. The forefathers have warned us already. It doesn't. They will come, they will set up, and they will say they didn't make profit, so they're not going to pay corporate tax. But the benefit you have waited, it was corporate tax and employment. So we have to develop a sense of, I do not know how to call it, but we need to be courageous in our decision making regarding rebuilding and building forward. Changing the foundation. Now we are contradicting ourselves. I never seen a contradictory people that are so contradicting themselves like ourselves. I never seen a confused nation like ourselves, especially among our leaders. Now that Alwendo has changed his mind about ownership of resources, you know, I do not know. And that's why I arrived at this point to say, we lack the economic audacity when it comes to ourselves. We lack the economic audacity when it comes to ourselves. When it comes to putting ourselves, sometimes I'm saying that, okay, maybe it's because my people, most of our leaders, they came from exile. Then I've realized even the educated one. Then I go like, okay, maybe the educated is because they've been educated from somewhere else. Because I know maybe even if I'm going to go and interview at the NIPDB one day, I know they might not going to like me. But I will say this, if you guys are going to meet,
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So, look, I keep saying that I'm not the best economist or the best researcher to advise the country on how to build. But I will say this on air. I do not care whether the person is retiring to come to Namibia. They don't deserve my land. I don't care how many billions they have. They should not own a piece of my country. I don't care. I truly don't care. You should not even give it to 99 years. I do not care. I do not know in what type of economic building and rebuilding is that giving away the land. I will never advise for it. I will never advise for such. No matter how old they are, they should never get a piece of Namibia. We should give them access to our resources, but the ownership, no. So that's why I'm saying that I think we are naive in terms of understanding our economic building. And we are ignoring one of the most important components of wealth, disempowerment, the level of colonialism, the level of disempowerment that happened, the unequalness of our society. I don't know whether the report is true or not, but if you truly understand that Namibia is unequal and the rest, your whole team, you guys are going to sit down and give access to our land to some people who want to retire just because they have money and they're coming to spend it in Namibia. I'm not going to agree. I will never agree to that. No, they are going to hire people to clean them. I do not want such type of jobs. And this is where now I say that there is some level of naivety in us. And I'm including myself. Because my point of this conversation today is that if you understand how unequal Namibia is, if you understand how deep unequal Namibia is, where majority of the employed people, they get less than 10,000. Where majority of 90% or perhaps 80% cannot afford a piece of land. And you want to advocate for us to give that land to some rich people. Remember what Angolan, when they were having money, did to the cost of Rendal in Windhoek, right? It shoot up. So that's why, look, guys, I love NIPDB. I love you guys. But I think, because I read the statement you have made, and it says nothing. And this is coming from the bottom of my heart. I think you guys need to sit down and draft a strategy that when we are facilitating investment for Namibia, what should we put at the core, at the center, when Namibia is the most unequal? What we need to be fixing is the unequalness in resources distribution. Now imagine if you invite 5 old Greek people to come and buy up our farm so they can hire us. Did you solve the inequality or you made it worse? Now I'm going to be hired as somebody they sent to the shop with my degree. Because now I cannot afford the farm. I was looking at the farm already, which is actually 13 million. Where? So, look, from Minister of Trade to National, planning it to everybody. In at the core of everything that we decide for our country, let us have on our forehead how unequal Namibia is in terms of land and in terms of wealth. We need to put it at the forefront. Otherwise, we will lose the plot. And that's why I keep correcting people. I keep correcting even you educated people. Do not celebrate the 50 billion in investment in Namibia. Because that is just a figure. If you want to understand how shallow that statement is, just know that from 2022 to 2023, we received how many billion? Around 22 billion, isn't it? Through oil and gas. Now ask yourself how much it came to a Namibian. Less than 10%. And this is why sometimes I say, maybe the educated people, there is some level of naivety among you or among us. When it comes to economic building and understanding, really, that when you are saying you received 22 billion, how much of it went to Namibians? And the Bank of Namibia did a great job to say less than 10% of the oil and gas investment that came into Namibia went to local companies. So that should be something to correct our naivety when we are saying FDI. And it's still at this level you hear educated and well-informed people parading, we received 20 billion in investment. Now ask yourself, how was it distributed to the Namibian people? How? I want you to pinpoint that in Tumeb, in Wewe, we own 10%. We got what? Break it down. Maybe it will assist you develop the economic audacity to stand up for yourself. Good evening, people. Welcome to the business and economic segment. There is something that I'm observing among ourselves. I'm included, I'm also naive. I also lack the economic audacity to make certain decisions. I'm guilty and I'm also part of the many that I'm talking about. Our naivety is going to cost us. The fact that we have a group of educated people advising certain ministries, advising certain policymakers. And the fact that in their advices, the component of wealth distribution does not come on top. And in their advices, they are not worried about the loss of ownership. And I say this, I told somebody that in the next 5 years or 10 years, when you're going to drive from Windhoek to Tumeb, you are not going to be allowed to get out of your car because some guy will be having a gun to say that is my land. Because we sold every piece of land in the name of foreign direct investment. You know, we have given it up. There is somebody with an EPL. There is somebody with a new license to look for something, a mineral the world need. You know, and all of us are being told to come and look for jobs, and they will build us ghettos where we are going to stay. So until we develop the economic audacity to understand that we are losing ownership of resources. We are losing our bargaining power when we are giving EPL to whoever. I hear people are encouraging more explorations. More exploration when they do not even have a plan with lithium or cobalt or copper. And that is where now you get worried to see, you get worried and ask questions. Where is the economic audacity? Where did we get this naivety? Why are we so naive to understand that we are losing ownership and tomorrow we will not have any bargaining power?
Hello? Tomorrow we'll not have any bargaining power.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, good evening to you.
Classus, how are you?
That is my father, Chief, not me.
You know, Kanteko, how are you?
No, I'm okay. So, what is your contribution?
My contribution, Kanteko, all what you are saying is true. You see, EBZ that you are talking about, it's in the customs area where some formality of customs policies or procedures that are supposed to be followed are suspended. You see, now, the question that you're going to ask is that, you remember that thing was made by, it was made in, maybe in, from 1990, because I remember it's one of the reasons why Lamatex was here. But now, as the country progressed, because remember that the time the country was having a population of 800,000. Yes? Now we are 3 million now. Ask yourself, if you have a company that's exporting 100 of ton of lithium and 100 ton of stones, but it does not have a VAT number to pay tax to NAMLA, but you have a person who is earning as little as 2,000, and that person is eligible to, let me say, 6,000, and that person is eligible to pay tax. Now, how could you justify that? So, how can the African government went to sign an agreement called EPA for farming products such as pumpkin and watermelon that are coming from Europe to come to Africa on duty-free without being paid duty? But your own products in your own SADC protocol or COMESA or ECOPS, you must pay duty. So if watermelon is coming from Zambia to Namibia, it must be paid duty. But something that's coming from Europe, as far as United Kingdom, they don't pay duty on it.
Yeah, no. That those are now the Minister of Trade representative, the Dr. Omavindus and his team. Because we are just pointing out to say we are not blaming, we are pointing out the naivety among ourselves
at a different
level. And that's actually a very good point to point out, that we rush to sign EPA. Even now, one of the most ongoing thing is about EPA. Like literally the Minister of Trade, like right now, is EPA. But nothing is going on loudly in terms of FTA. And also there is some level of naivety among ourselves to prioritize what can go to Europe, what can come from Europe. But we are doing perhaps minimal in terms of regional trade and also continental trade.
Kanjago, we are even betrayed in such a way that some people think in Namibia, they think Meme Mahangu was made in Namibia. Some people think Namibian meal, food, they are made in Namibia. Those things are imported from as far as India, the Netherlands, and Ukraine.
Yeah, perhaps the inputs, or are you now referring to the input? Because I know there are some that are being processed here.
No, what's done here is the packaging. We are speaking about filter of production.
Mm.
That vessel now, that vessel is now busy in airport. Remember that Mahangu are coming from India and transported from Valvesby to a milling plant in Otavi. And what happened in Otavi is only packaging.
Mm.
That's why they made it in such a way you can feel the ownership, but not the product, my friend.
Yeah, again, that just point out to our own naivety. Remember, that company you are mentioning, for them, their job is milling. And if you are unable to produce enough mahangu, that cannot be on them. It's supposed to be on us. We have field of mahangu, we have the grain scheme, but it's again on our own naivety because we are unable to increase our production. It's good to point it out, but it's not the fault of the company because the company does not own a farm. They are just procuring inputs. Yeah.
Yes, the company made it possible to set up infrastructure that can help in mass production. Now, what is now then our farm is supposed to come and produce food so that those machines can be able to do the milling and everything.
Yeah, if they are empowered, if they are empowered and incapacitated.
Yes, but now the problem, like in Namibia, is that all our things are done politically, not in an issue of national interest or comprehensive combat. You are every day talking about Nectaradam. But majority of the people that I've talked to, they said Nectaradam was a political decision.
No. We will come to Nectaradam problem Monday. I'm preparing enough. We will come to that.
The study was done, and Kavango was identified to be Namibia, the great basket. But now, what's happening in Kavango, the
drilling
of oil by Lake on Africa.
Yeah, no. There we are. Me and you are going to fight because Kavango is already a river which is there bigger. You can just pump enough water and take wherever you want to irrigate. The south is already dry. I think to me it was commercial for them to get to them. But we can talk about it on Monday. I have no problem. I can hear your side and hear mine. I think the south was, it was good for them to go there to get to them. But let us move on beyond Nekata because we have a date for it. Mm.
Yeah, because now the problem is, why should you spend a lot of money in expert technicians to do visibility study? Then you are having people that are going to implement decision against it, a visibility study that costs the expense money. And that's not the thing that we, it's high time we need to hold people accountable.
Okay, there is another naivety among Namibian, our inability to hold certain people accountable. And it's good we point that one out because it's also the public. The public is not well informed. We do not inform the public. We come, we insult, we shout. But availing the right information, we only provide one article of 600, and that is not enough. So there is another naivety among ourselves that we need to work on.
Yeah, and I think my last point is that the commissioner of NAMLA has so much power to change that. The problem of us having companies that are shipping out our raw material in millions of tons, but they don't pay VAT.
Yeah, no, I think that the Shivute, look, as much as I have a problem with people, so far, I'm just waiting for him on the fishing sector and the mining sector. So that is where I'm waiting for him to make his move. So far, he has started with the fishery sector. I'm waiting on the mining sector. So so far I can give him the benefit of the doubt. As much as we were crying and things, but for now I can say I'm trusting Shivute. Even if you ask me to say, can I give him a second chance, I will give it to him. I would be like what the cabinet did to Mitko, even though cabinet is unable to tell us what they did to Mitko and which assessment they used. For that, the Shivute, I can say it on air that so far to me, at a personal level, I can say Shivute can give him a second chance to see what else he can do.
Yeah. No. We it's good. What's happened in calendar, it's good. He must still be given a chance and give people benefits of the doubt. But we just need things to be done. Even though you are appointed on Act of Parliament and where you are going, like the fishing sector, there is the people that are, the interests that are there are for people that gave him the job. So if what is all to the state must just be done, doesn't matter whether it's impunity that needs to be applied or animal farms. Mm. We want just the job to be done with due diligence.
All right,
and
sir.
Some of the laws that were made as far by us when the late Dipo Antenya was a minister, this law needs to be revisited. Mm. We cannot have a lot of people are taking out our raw material and they don't even have a VAT number because this apparent is raw material. And now the question you ask, if they don't have a VAT number when they are exporting, how do they pay VATs after they made it increase the product and they are retaining those.
Even the export levy, even the export levy. Because if you look at the export levy and the income we derive from exporting, I think there is some audit that need to be done there. And I look, yeah. Before I let you go, I think yes. There is a weakness, and I'm going to say this. Minister of Mine can come and attack me. The weakness, it might not just be on Namara alone. The weakness can be at the Minister of Mine. And until something is sorted, because there is so much going on in terms of our mineral, is the Minister of Mine that we need perhaps to look at to see how they can work together with Namara. For me, that is where, that is just now at the personal level. If we need to fix things, somewhere the Minister of Mine, things need to be fixed. But anyway, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you, Gazebo.
Look, we are pointing out certain things, how naive we are in the decision that we are making. And I want you to listen, I'm saying we. I'm not saying only somebody, I'm saying we. Because if you have a company exporting and it is no VAT, if you have a company that owns the biggest smelter and is under the EPZ, until now, come on, man. We are so naive. We are so naive. And that is something that we need to change. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
So I have that issue. I have that issue when we are making decisions at an economic level, and we keep repeating them for the next 10 years and 15 years. We keep being educated and being guided, but we're still making the same decisions. And that's why I'm saying that until we develop the economic audacity to put yourself at the center of everything that we do, Namibia should come first. And again, guys, we cannot be exchanging what we have for employment. I think that the theory, that model of economic building that is given to Africa, that Africa, go to Africa and create employment and get everything. That is one of the most messed up theory that we're still following. Africa, go to Africa, create a job and take ownership. So now we have forests that are bought by who? We have land, we have rivers, we have ocean. We lost everything just because we want to create employment. So that's why we are training people to go find jobs. And I think that is the highest level of naivety. We are so naive. And until we restructure our model of economic building, guys, I'm going to annoy you until I get tired with that word of economic building. Where economic building is centered in African benefit. Where whenever we have something up for grab, you know, I was very mad at Atekale when he announced the green scheme when they went to, is it Saudi Arabia now or United Emirates? And that is where you went to announce the green scheme. I was so mad at him because it shows how naive we are as a country. When you are announcing your green scheme and you're going to announce them outside the world. And I say this because I have so much respect for Tatekale. I love his work. But I was so mad at him that you disrespected me as a young entrepreneur. I wanted to know the green scheme available to me first, not them. And I'm not only going to blame Tatekale alone. I'm also going to blame Musheko and everybody around him who are advising him. For every ministry, sometimes we only point the fingers to the ministers. But is the technocrat the people around? Is the me, is the Kanchengos in the ministries that we call ourselves economically woke, we are educated, we have PhDs, we have a bunch of qualifications. But the reflection of our education is being reflected on our ministers' decisions. So the naivety is not just perhaps in our leaders, it's in the people that are advising, it's the Kanchengos in these ministries. So that's what I'm saying, that when it comes to changing the status quo, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to ownership, when it comes to inequality, when it comes to disempowerment, when it comes to what we went through, we forget. When you are issuing an EPL and there is no Namibian. When you are awarding the biggest tender in the world and there is no Namibian. And you are saying that no, they are not capable. No, I get the headache that if you are not making them able to. Because you have to develop a culture. You have to develop a mindset. And I'm not saying it's easy. No, it's not easy. I'm also working with people. And it gives me a headache every day, every time I want to quit. Because it's so difficult to make people develop a certain culture. It's so difficult to sell a vision. But we shouldn't get tired and start just dishing out every project that just, come on, Namibian people are not capable. That is naivety. That is lack of economical audacity. We have to step up to make things work, no matter how long it will take. Beautiful people. I know, right? It's very difficult. Good evening. Hello. So, as I said at the beginning, that the business and economic segment is a reflection, is us looking ourselves into the mirror, contextualizing what we are going through, that nobody's coming through to save us. And something that we need to get rid of is our economical naivety to think that the people have the best interest. Good evening. Hello. Okay, good. There is somebody there who is playing around. I'm sorry, man. I'm a bit busy and I can play around. So as we approach the last minute, we have to reflect on the direction that we want to go. And I want to correct the educated and the people advising, the trade facilitators, and everybody, we trust you. There is a higher level of naivety among ourselves. There is a lowest level of confidence among ourselves. That Namibian can't. But every time you give up ownership to somebody from somewhere, Namibian loses. So it's up to us now to develop a capacity among ourselves. Good evening. So going forward, as we facilitate the trade, as we facilitate investment, as we build infrastructures and we develop this bigger project around the country, we have to lose the naivety within ourselves. We have to develop some confidence among ourselves. We have to assist ourselves to go forward and to build ourselves. There is nobody who is having your best interest. Colleagues, the educated people in government and everywhere, there is no way another country have your best interest. As much as they are giving you a grant, they are giving you what? There is no way they will do the best for your people. It has to be yourself. So we need to get rid of that naive mentality among ourselves of giving away license in the ocean everywhere because we think they are going to do best for us because they have capital. Let us find our own capital. Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening to you.
So you did cut me off. I don't know whether you cut me off or something went wrong.
No, I just wanted to show you that if you come and disturb my show again, I'll cut you off.
How did I disturb your show?
Do you want to add something before I close off?
Of course. I can't just call for nothing. So you went with the people, with the Honorable Minister of Agriculture. So when they went to, you took that fact-finding mission for the Nekadal Dam, okay?
No, for the Nekadal Dam, I want to save it for Monday. I'm busy with the research on it. I didn't go with it. That's why I said, let us reserve it for a day when you're going to look at it.
But there was a time, I remember, you gave us a report when you went around and all these things.
Yeah.
So can we not use that one as a benchmark for others?
You Since went you there and until way. Now, until now, there is nothing that has been made.
No, I just wanted to build on the lesson that you were sharing with us.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that it's now actually very important for us to talk about Nekadral Dam, because there is drought, there is hunger. And that's what I'm saying.
Okay, let's leave that one. And because they are similar, and I'm sure they also have the same impact in terms of food security and other issues. Where somebody also mentioned about these green schemes and others. So are they not going to be approached in the same manner? You mentioned about Tatekale when he went out and he was calling for bids and these things. So was that not a local direct investment?
Okay, cool. Look, that's I'm looking at. I made my observation on the naive decision that we are making. And I wanted you to come to us and point out some of the naive decision that you have made and that we need to correct.
When I mentioned some of those things, from either from you or from other economists or analysts, then you just cut me off. Why?
I'm asking you that when I have a topic, I want you to come and talk about the topic.
That's what I talk. It's in the context of that topic.
So, at this particular juncture, I know there is so much which is going on elsewhere. And I'm glad we have those that are doing beautiful work wherever you are doing it. It's okay. But if you look at our economic progress and the inequality that we have, it's why we have this program. And perhaps for those that are misinterpreting everything that we do here every day on BS, it's not because we are not appreciating the effort that is going on somewhere. No, it's the fact that we are cognizant of the work that needs to be done. So in case you are wondering that, no, they are not appreciating, government is donating, no. We know. We read. But we are cognizant of how far we are in terms of inequality. We are cognizant of that there is nobody actually honest enough to stand up and say whatever we are able to say. And that's why we include ourselves in the conversation that I'm also not doing well. I call myself an economist. And that's why we're saying this is a mirror, it's a reflection of what we are doing as a country. So, but there are certain gray areas which I call that we are so naive in a decision that we are making, and I think we can develop better by gaining power and audacity to make decisions. And through my whole presentation today, I gave some of those observations. You can correct me wherever you are finding yourself, but that was the presentation, and that's what we do here every day. And it's done from the basis of loving our country and loving ourselves and wanting to improve, especially the inequality, and also to change the mindset and to change the theories that exist of economic building. And I'm repeating, the theories that exist and the model that exist that the African countries are being fed to use, that is what we are trying to change with our suggestions and our observations every day here. So don't get it twisted. This is a lesson. This is a lecture hall. We have a lot of suggestions and observations that we have made. And because we love our country, we love our continent, we are here to debunk and to change some of those theories and suggest a new one, remove the old one, come up with a new one, and also correct ourselves. And also remind ourselves that, yes, the journey is a bit longer. I know some work has been done. We are grateful, but I think we can improve collectively. Yeah, my time is up a bit. My time is up.
Yes, I understand. Your time is up, and I appreciate that. We are listening, and we are gauging each other, and I think what is lacking from today's program is that you are too harsh on us. You are too harsh on us for the fact, and we are observing that. Mm-hmm. Let us And it's part of respect also. We respect you as a presenter, and we thought or we think we also need to be respected. We like your program. You are excellent. You are fantastic. But then it will not be enough if we cannot contribute also. That the Bwana, I know him by voice. I think he was trying to gauge you, but cutting him off is not the solution.
Yeah. From him. Yeah. Before you go also. I want to say this to everybody who listen to Eagle FM. Guys, I'm a very honest man, and I will say this.
Yeah, okay.
And I read a lot. But, guys, I do not call in every show.
Yeah.
And as much as I have something to say, as much as I'm angry, you do not hear me calling in every show. So I have no problem with the contribution and everybody contributing. But I have a problem if you're going to call in every show. And if you're going to talk about the same thing, guys, you guys can petition Eagle FM for me to go. I have no problem. But I'm going to repeat it tomorrow. You cannot call in every show, and you cannot come and call every day and distract from the topic. No, I'm not going to take that one.
Okay, no, from that angle, then I understand where it is coming from.
Thank you. And I love you guys, but I'm not thank going to take much. That.
Thank you very much. This is Simpson from Swakopmund.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
With that, colleagues, let me love you and leave you. Regardless, and I'm sorry for my tone, there is nothing I can do. And I'm not angry, that is just my tone, that is just my voice. But tomorrow I'm going to be back, on Thursday again. We're going to do this again, we're going to teach, we're going to learn. Yeah, I think that is the way forward, man. And with that, have a very good night.
Listen to Eagle FM in Katima Mulilo at 93.1. Listen to Eagle FM in Orangemund at 107.7. Listen to Eagle FM in Otapi at 93.6. Listen to Eagle FM in Rundu at 106.3. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.